Kaelin handed Sadine over to the wizard. She gave Chase and Zed a nod. "Go on, get started. I will catch up in a few minutes." Zed started to protest, but she cut him off and told him again to start ahead. She watched the two horses and the wolf gallop across the bridge and down the road before she turned back to Richard. Concern cut deeply into her features. "Richard, please, let me—" "No." She nodded and handed him the reins to his horse. Tears were filling her green eyes. "There are dangers in the Midlands you know nothing about. Be careful." A tear ran down her cheek. "I'll be back with you before you have time to miss me." "I'm afraid for you." "I know. But I'll be all right." She looked up at him with eyes he could lose himself in. "I shouldn't be doing this," she whispered. Kaelin threw her arms around his neck and kissed him. Hard. Fast. Desperate. For a moment, as he reached his arms around her and pulled her tight against him, the touch of her lips on his, the little moan that came from her, and the feeling of her fingers through the back of his hair made him forget his own name. He was in a daze as he watched her put a boot in the stirrup and throw her other leg over the saddle. She pulled the reins, bringing her horse around close to him. "Don't you dare do anything stupid, Richard Cipher. Promise me." "I promise." He didn't tell her that he thought letting harm reach her was what he considered stupid above all else. "Don't worry. I'll be back with you just as soon as I get rid of this spell. Protect the box. Rahl must not get it. That's what matters. Now get going." He stood holding the reins of his horse, watching her gallop across the bridge and disappear into the distance. "I love you, Kaelin Amnell," he whispered. With an encouraging pat to the splotch of gray on the roan's neck, Richard headed the big horse off the road after crossing the small bridge and spurred it along the bank of the stream. The horse ran with ease, splashing its hooves in the shallow water when the brush blocked the way along the bank. Sunlit hills, mostly barren of trees, rose up around the stream. As the banks became steeper, he led the horse up along the higher ground, where it could make easier progress. Richard kept a watch for anyone following or observing, but saw no one. The hills seemed deserted. Chalk-white cliffs rose up to either side of the stream, cleft faces on identical hills straddling the water. Richard was off the horse before it stopped. Looking about, he tethered it to a sumac whose red fruit were already dried and shriveled. His boots slid on the loose ground as he descended the steep bank. There was a narrow foot trail through the slide of rock and dirt. Following it brought him to the tall mouth of a cave. With a hand on the hilt of the sword, he peeked around the opening, checking for the artist or anyone else. There was no one. Immediately inside the cave were drawings on the walls. They covered every surface and continued back into the darkness. Richard was overwhelmed. There were hundreds of drawings, maybe thousands. Some were little, no bigger than his hand. Some were larger, tall as he. Each depicted a different scene. Most had only one person in them, but a few had many people. It was obvious that they had been drawn by different hands. Some were delicately rendered, rich in detail, with shading and highlights, depicting people with broken limbs, or drinking from cups with skulls and crossbones on them, or standing next to fields of withered crops. Others were done by someone with little talent for the task. Their figures were drawings of people made of simple lines, but the scenes in these were similarly gruesome. Richard guessed that the talent of the artist was of little importance. It was the message that counted. Richard found drawings done by different hands but of the same subject. These people might have a map of some sort around them, but around each was a line drawn in a circle, the circle having a skull and crossbones on it somewhere. Keeper spells. But how was he to find his? There were drawings everywhere. He didn't know what the drawing of his spell looked like. He searched the walls with growing panic, moving deeper into the darkness. He ran his hands over the pictures as he moved, trying to look at each so as not to miss his. His eyes darted everywhere, overwhelmed by the number of spells, searching for something familiar, not knowing exactly what to look for or where. Richard worked his way back into the darkness, reasoning that maybe there was an end to the drawings, and maybe the latest were at the end. It was too dark to see. He went toward the mouth of the cave to retrieve reed cane torches he had seen there. Before he had gone far, he ran smack into the invisible wall. With rising panic, he realized that he was trapped in the cave. He was running out of time. The torches were out of reach. He ran back into the darkness, searching. He had trouble seeing the spells, and still there was no end to them. A thought he definitely didn't like came to him. If there be need enough. The Night Stone! With no time to lose, he pulled the leather pouch from his pack. He looked at it in his hand, trying to decide if this would be a help or simply more trouble. Trouble he couldn't handle. He thought about the times he had seen the stone out of the pouch. Each time it had taken a while for the shadow things to come. Maybe if he just pulled it out for a short time, had a look into the darkness, and then put the stone back, he would have the time he needed before the shadows found him. He didn't know if it was a good idea. If there be need enough. He dumped the stone into his hand. Light filled the cave. Richard wasted no time looking at individual drawings, but instead quickly went deeper, looking for where they ended. From the corner of his eye, he saw the first shadow materialize. It was still a ways off. He kept going. At last he came to the end of the drawings. The shadows were almost upon him. He thrust the stone back in the leather pouch. In the darkness, he held his breath, eyes wide, expecting the painful touch of death. It didn't come. The only light was a dim glow with a bright spot in the center, the entrance, but it didn't provide enough light to see the drawings. He knew he would have to take out the stone again. First, with his fingers, he searched through his pocket and found the soft, tacky piece of stick Zed had given him. With it firmly in hand, he pulled the stone out again. The light blinded him for a second. His head swiveled around, looking. Then he saw it. The man in the drawing was as tall as he, but the rest of the drawing was larger still. It was crude, but he knew it was him. The sword held in the right hand had the word Truth written on it. There was a map around the figure, similar to the one Kalin had drawn on the ground. On one side, the line around the outside edges went down the Calisidron and across the center of the bridge. That was where he had run into it. The shadows called his name. He looked up to see hands reaching for him. He thrust the stone into the pouch and pressed his back against the wall, over his drawing, listening to his heart pounding in his ears. In dismay, he realized that the drawing was too large for him to erase the entire circle around him. If he only erased part of it, he had no way of knowing where the gap would be, or how to make the gap where he was in the cave. He backed away, to prepare himself to get a better look the next time he pulled the stone out. He bumped into the invisible wall. His heart felt as if it skipped a beat. The wall was almost around him. He had no time. He pulled the stone out and immediately started erasing the sword, hoping that would take away his identity, take the spell off him. The lines erased only with great difficulty. He backed away a step to look and hit the wall. The shadows reached for him, calling his name seductively. He dumped the stone back into the pouch and stood in the blackness, breathing hard, near panic at the feeling of being trapped. He knew he couldn't use the sword to fight the shadow things while he worked on the drawing. He had fought the shadows before, and it took everything he had. His mind raced. He couldn't think of what to do. He had erased the sword, and that didn't work. The spell must still recognize him. He knew there wasn't enough time to erase the line all the way around him. His breath came in a desperate pant. There was flickering light. He spun around. A man holding one of the reed torches came closer, an oily smile on his face. It was James, the artist.
"I thought I might find you here. I came to watch. Anything I can do to help?"
By his laugh, Richard knew James wasn't about to help him. James also knew that with the wall between them, Richard couldn't use the sword on him. He laughed at Richard's helplessness. Richard cast a quick glance sideways. The torch gave enough light for him to see the drawing. The invisible wall pushed at his shoulder, pushed him toward the wall. A wave of nausea and dizziness went through him at the touch. He was only a step away from the cave wall as it was. In moments, he would be encased, crushed, or poisoned. Richard spun to the drawing. While he worked with one hand, he searched his pocket with the other. He pulled out the stick Zed had told him he could use to alter the drawing. James leaned forward with a chuckle, watching him work. The chuckle stopped. "What are you doing there?" Richard didn't answer as he erased the right hand on the figure. "Stop that!" James yelled. Richard ignored him and kept erasing. James threw the torch on the ground and pulled out a drawing stick of his own. The artist started drawing in fast, slashing strokes, strands of his greasy hair whipping around as he worked. He was drawing a figure. He was drawing another spell. Richard knew that if James finished first, there would be no second chance.
"Stop that, you fool!"
James yelled as he raced to complete his drawing. The unseen wall pressed up against Richard's back, forcing him against the wall of the cave. He barely had room to move his arms. James was drawing a sword, starting to write the word truth. Richard took his drawing stick and, with a line, connected the sides of the wrist on the figure, making a stump, just like the one James had. As he finished it, the pressure on his back lifted, and the sick feeling left. James screamed. Richard turned to see him writhing on the floor of the cave, folding himself into a ball as he vomited. Richard shuddered and picked up the torch. The artist's pleading eyes came up to him.
"I wasn't going to let it kill you, only trap you.
Who had you do this spell on me?" James gave a wicked little smile.
"The Mord Sith," he whispered. "You are going to die."
"What's a Mord Sith?" Richard heard the breath being squeezed from him, bones snapping. James was dead. Richard couldn't say he was sorry. Richard didn't know what a Mord Sith was, but he didn't want to wait around to find out. Suddenly he felt alone and vulnerable. Zed and Kaelin both had warned him that there were many things in the Midlands, many creatures of magic, that were dangerous, that he knew nothing about. He hated the Midlands, the magic. He just wanted to get back to Kaelin. Richard ran toward the cave entrance, dropping the torch along the way. Running out into the bright sunlight, shielding his eyes, he came to a halt. Squinting, he saw a ring of people around him. Soldiers. They wore uniforms of dark leather and mail, swords over their shoulders, battle axes at their wide belts. At their lead, facing the cave, facing him, was someone different. A woman, with long auburn hair pulled back into a loose braid. She was sheathed in leather from neck to ground, cut to fit like a glove. Blood-red leather. The only deviation from the blood-red of it was a yellow crescent and star across her stomach. Richard saw that the men wore the same crescent and star on their chests, only theirs was red. She watched him with no emotion, except the slightest wisp of a smile. Richard stood with his feet spread defensively, his hand on the hilt of the sword, not knowing what to do, without a clue to their intent. Her eyes gave a little flick, looking above and behind him. Richard heard two men drop from the cliff wall to the ground behind him. He could feel the anger of the sword racing urgently into him through his hand on the hilt. He held it at full rage as he gritted his teeth. The woman snapped her fingers at the men behind him, then pointed at him. "Take him!" He heard the sound of steel being drawn. That was everything Richard needed to know. The commitment had been made. Bringer of death. His sword came out in an arc as he spun. He let the anger loose with a vengeance. It exploded through him. His eyes met those of the two men. Their jaws were set in a rage of their own as their swords cleared the scabbards over their shoulders. Richard kept the sword of truth low, waist height, with all his weight and strength behind it. Their swords came down defensively. He screamed with lethal rage, lethal hate, lethal need. He gave himself completely over to the lust to kill, knowing anything less would be the end of him. His sword tip whistled. Bringer of death. Shards of hot, shattered steel spiraled through the clear morning air. Twin grunts. At impact, twin wet thwacks, like ripe melons hitting the ground. Insides turned out in long red ropes. The top halves of their bodies tumbled as the legs collapsed. The sword continued around, tracing its route with strings of blood. He refocused the rage, the hate, the need. She commanded them. Richard wanted her lifeblood. The magic surged through him unhindered. He was still screaming. She stood with her hand on her hip. Richard met her eyes, made a slight alteration to the course of the sword so it too would meet them. Her widening smile only fed the violent fire of his wrath. Their eyes locked together. The sword tip whistled around toward her head. His need to kill was beyond retrieval. Bringer of death. The pain of the sword's magic hit him like a waterfall of icy water on naked flesh. The blade never reached her. The sword clattered to the ground as the pain took him to his knees, ripping through him, doubling him over. Hands still on her hip, smile still on her face, she stood over him, watching as he clutched his arms across his abdomen, vomiting blood, choking on it. Fire burned through every inch of him. The pain of the magic consumed him, took his breath from his lungs. Desperately, he tried to get a grip on the magic, tried to put away the pain as he had learned to do before. It did not respond to his will. With rising panic, he realized he no longer had control of it. She did. He collapsed to his face in the dirt, trying to scream, to breathe, but couldn't. He thought about Kaelin for an instant. Then the pain took even that from him. Not one of the men moved from the circle. The woman put a boot on the back of his neck and an elbow on her knee as she leaned over. With her other hand she grabbed a fistful of his hair and lifted his head. She leaned closer, the leather creaking. "My, my," she hissed, "and here I thought I was going to have to torture you for days and days before I finally made you angry enough to use your magic against me. Well, not to worry. I have other reasons to torture you." Through his pain, Richard realized he had made a fearful mistake. He had somehow given her the control of the sword's magic. He knew he was in more trouble than he had ever been in his life. Kaelin was safe, he told himself. That was all that mattered. "Do you want the pain to stop, my pet?" The question enraged him. his anger at her, his want to kill her, twisted the pain tighter. No, he managed with all of his strength. She shrugged, dropping his head.
Fine by me. But when you decide you want the pain of the magic to stop, all you have to do is stop thinking those nasty thoughts about me. From now on, I control the magic of your sword. If you so much as think of lifting a finger against me, the pain of the magic will take you down. She smiled. That is the only pain you will have any control over. Just think something pleasant about me and it will stop. Of course, I, too, will have control over the pain of the magic and can bring it to you any time I choose. And I can bring you other pain, too, as you will learn. She frowned. Tell me, my pet, did you try to use the magic on me because you are a fool or because you fancy yourself as brave? The pain let up the smallest bit. He gasped for air. She had relaxed it just enough to allow him to answer.
Who are you?
She took a fistful of his hair again, lifted his head, twisted it around to look into his eyes. As she leaned over, the boot on his neck sent a shard of pain through his shoulders. He couldn't move his arms. Her face was wrinkled in a frown of curiosity. You don't know who I am? Everyone in the Midlands knows me.
I'm Westland.
Her eyebrows lifted in delight.
Westland! My, my, how delicious. This is going to be fun.
Her smile widened. I am Denna, Mistress Denna to you, my pet. I am a moored Sith.
I'll not tell you where Kaelin is. You might as well kill me now.
Who? Kaelin?
Mother Confessor.
Mother Confessor? She said with distaste. Why in the world would I want a confessor? It is you, Richard Cipher, that Master Rawl sent me for, no one else. One of your friends has betrayed you to him.
She twisted his head up harder, pushed her boot down harder.
And now I have you. I had thought it might be difficult, but you hardly made it any fun at all. I'm to be in charge of your training. But then you wouldn't know about that, since you are from Westland. You see, a moored Sith always wears red when she's to train someone. That's so your blood won't show so much. I have a wonderful feeling I'm going to have a lot of your blood on me before I have you trained.
She dropped his head and leaned her full weight on her boot, holding her hand out in front of his face. He could see that the back of her gloved hand was armored, even the fingers. A blood-red leather rod, about a foot long, hung loosely from her wrist by an elegant gold chain. It swung back and forth in front of his eyes.
This is the Ajeel. This is part of what I will use to train you. She gave him a smooth smile, arching an eyebrow.
Curious? Want to see how it works?
Denna pressed the Ajeel against his side. The shock of the pain made him cry out. Even though he had had no intention of giving her the satisfaction of seeing how much it hurt. Every muscle in his body locked rigid with the agony of the thing against his side. His mind was filled with the want of having it off him.
Denna pushed the slightest bit harder, making him scream louder. He heard a pop and felt a rib crack.
She took the Ajeel away. Warm blood oozed down his side. Richard was covered in sweat as he lay in the dirt, panting, tears running from his eyes. He felt as if the pain were pulling every muscle in his body apart. There was dirt in his mouth and blood.
Denna gave him a cruel sneer. Now, my pet, say thank you, Mistress Denna, for teaching me.
Her face came closer.
Say it.
With all his mental strength, Richard focused his hunger to kill her,
and envisioned the sword exploding through her head. Die, bitch! Denna shuddered and half-closed her eyes, running her tongue over her upper lip in ecstasy. Oh, that was a deliciously naughty vision, my pet. Of course you will learn to be seriously sorry you did it. Training you is going to be exquisite fun. Too bad you don't know what a Mord Sith is. If you did, you would be very afraid. I would enjoy that. Her smile showed her perfect teeth. But I think I'm going to delight in surprising you even more. Richard maintained the vision of killing her until he was unconscious. Chapter 41. Richard's eyes came open a little. His mind was in a fog. He was face down on a cold stone floor, lit by flickering torchlight. The stone walls had no windows to tell him if it was day or night. There was a coppery taste in his mouth. Blood. He tried to think of where he could be, and why. A sharp pain in his side caught his breath when he tried to inhale too deeply. His whole body hurt. He throbbed everywhere. It felt as if someone had given him a beating with a club. The memory of the nightmare seeped back into his mind. At the thought of Denna, his anger flashed. Instantly, the pain of the magic made him inhale in a gasp. The unexpected shock of it made him draw his knees up and let out a moan of agony. He recoiled from the anger, put her from his mind. He thought of Kaelin, remembering the way she had kissed him. The pain melted away. Desperately, he tried to keep his mind on Kaelin. He couldn't take the pain again. He couldn't bear it. He already hurt too much. He had to think of a way out of this. If he didn't get control of his anger, he had no chance. He remembered how his father had taught him that anger was wrong, how for most of his life he had been able to keep it choked off. Zed had told him that there were times when bringing the anger out was more dangerous than keeping it in. This was one of those times. He had a whole lifetime of experience at keeping his anger under control. He must do it now. That thought gave him a sliver of hope. Carefully, without moving too much, he took appraisal. His sword was back in its scabbard, his knife still in its sheath, the nightstone still in his pocket. His pack lay against a far wall. The left side of his shirt was hard with dried blood. His head pounded with pain, but felt no worse than the rest of him. Turning his head a little, he saw Denna. She was stretched out at an angle in a wooden chair with her ankles crossed. Her right elbow rested on a simple wooden table as she spooned something into her mouth from a bowl she held in her other hand. She was watching him. He thought maybe he should say something. "Where are your men?" Denna kept chewing for a time as she watched him. At last she set the bowl down and pointed at a spot on the floor next to her. Her voice was calm, almost gentle. "Come and stand here." With great difficulty, Richard rose to his feet and walked to stand where she had pointed. She watched him without emotion as he stood looking down at her. He waited in silence. She stood, and with her boot pushed the chair back out of the way. She was almost as tall as he. She turned her back to him as she picked up a glove off the table and worked it onto her right hand, pushing the fingers down tight. Abruptly, she spun around, backhanding him across the mouth. The armored back of the glove split his lip open on his teeth. Immediately, before the anger could grip him, he thought about a beautiful place in the Heartland Woods. His eyes watered from the sting of the gash. Denna gave him a warm smile. "You forgot the appellation, my pet. I told you before, you are to address me as Mistress, or as Mistress Denna. You are lucky to have me as your trainer. Most Mord Sith are not as lenient as I."
they would have used the Aegeal at the first offense. But I have a soft spot in my heart for good-looking men. And besides, even though the glove isn't a very effective punishment, I must admit I rather favor using it. I like to feel the contact. The Aegeal is exhilarating, but there is no substitute for using your own hands to feel what you're doing. She gave a little frown, her voice hardening. Take your hand away. Richard took his hand off his mouth and held both at his sides. He could feel the blood dripping from his chin. Denna watched it in satisfaction. Unexpectedly, she leaned forward and licked some of the blood off his chin, smiling at the taste. It seemed to excite her. She pressed herself against him, but this time she sucked his lip in her mouth and bit it hard on the cut. Richard squeezed his eyes shut, his hands and fists, and held his breath until she backed away, licking the blood from her lips with a smile. He shook with the pain, but held the vision of the Heartland Woods in his mind. That was just a gentle warning, as you will soon learn. Now repeat the question properly. Richard decided on the spot that he would call her Mistress Denna, and that it would, to him, be a term of disrespect, and that he would never, ever call her simply Mistress. It would be his way of fighting her, of keeping his self-respect. In his own mind, at least. Richard took a deep breath to steady his voice. "Where are your men, Mistress Denna?"
"Much better," she cooed.
"Most Mordsith don't allow those in training to talk, or to ask questions. But I think that becomes boring. I rather like to talk to my trainee. As I said, you are lucky to have me." She gave him a cool smile. "I've sent my men away. I no longer need them. They are only used for capture, and to hold the captive until he uses his magic against me. Then they are no longer needed. There is nothing you can do to get away or fight back.
Nothing."
"And why do I still have my sword and knife?"
Too late, he remembered.
With an arm, he blocked her fist to his face. The act of stopping her brought the pain of the magic. The Aegeal came up into his stomach. He rolled over on the ground, crying out in agony, "Stand up!" Richard choked off the anger to shut away the pain of the magic. The pain of the Aegeal didn't fade so quickly. He came to his feet with great difficulty. "Now get on your knees and ask for my forgiveness." When he didn't move quick enough for her, she laid the Aegeal on his shoulder, pushing him down with it. His right arm went numb with hurt.
"Please, Mistress Denna, forgive me."
"That's better." She smiled at last. "Stand up." She watched him come to his feet. "You have your sword and knife because they are no danger to me. And perhaps some day you will use them to protect your mistress. I prefer my pets to keep their weapons, so it can be a constant reminder that they are helpless against me." She turned her back to him, removing her glove. Richard knew she was right about the sword. It had magic, and she controlled that. But he wondered if that was the only way. He had to know. His hands reached for her throat. She continued to slowly remove the glove as he fell to his knees, crying out with the pain of the magic. Desperately, he brought his mind to the picture of the Heartland Woods. The pain eased, and he returned to his feet when she told him to do so. Denner gave an impatient look. "You're going to make this hard, aren't you?" Her face softened, the smooth smile returning. "But then, I enjoy it when a man makes it hard." "Now you're doing it wrong. I told you that to make the pain stop, you should think something pleasant about me. That's not what you're doing. You're thinking about some boring trees. This is your last warning. Either think something pleasant about me to stop the pain of the magic, or I will leave you in the agony of it all night. Do you understand?
Yes, Mistress Dinner.
Her smile widened. That was very good. See? You can be trained. Just remember, something pleasant about me. She took his hands and gazed into his eyes as she pressed his hands to her breasts. I find most men seem to focus their pleasant thoughts here. She leaned closer, still holding his hands against her, her voice becoming airy. But if there's anything you like better, please feel free to let your mind go there instead.
Richard decided that he thought her hair was pretty, and that that was the only place on her his mind was going to go to think anything pleasant. The pain unexpectedly took him to his knees, tightening its grip until he couldn't breathe. His mouth opened, but he could get no air. His eyes bulged.
Now, show me you can do as you were told. Shut the pain off any time you wish, but do it in the way I told you.
He looked up at her hair. His vision was blurring. With concentration, he thought about how attractive he thought her braid was. He forced himself to think of it as beautiful. The pain lifted, and he collapsed to his side, gasping for air. Stand up. He did as he was told, still struggling to breathe.
That was the proper way to do it. See to it that is the only way you dare to remove the pain in the future, or I will change the magic so you will be unable to remove it at all, understand?
Yes, Mistress Dinner. He was still catching his breath. Mistress Dinner, you said someone betrayed me. Who was it?
One of your own.
None of my friends would do that, Mistress Dinner.
She regarded him contemptuously. Then I would guess they aren't really your friends now, are they?
He looked at the floor, a lump in his throat.
No, Mr. Stenner, but who was it?
She shrugged. Master Rawl didn't think it important enough to tell me. The only thing that is important for you to know now is that no one is going to rescue you. You are never going to be free again. The sooner you learn that, the easier it will go for you, the easier your training will be.
And what is the purpose of my training, Mr. Stenner?
The smile returned to her face.
To teach you the meaning of pain. To teach you that your life is no longer yours, that it is mine, and I can do anything I want with it. Anything. I can hurt you in any way I want for as long as I want, and no one is going to help you but me. I'm going to teach you that every moment you have without pain is a moment only I can grant you. You are going to learn to do as I say without question, without hesitation, no matter what it is. You are going to learn to beg for anything you get.
After a few days of training here, and I think you have made enough progress, then I will take you to another place, where there are other moored Sith, and I will continue training you there until I'm finished, no matter how long it takes. I will let some of the other moored Sith play with you, so you can see how lucky you are to have me. I rather like men. Some of the others hate them. I will let some of them have you for a while, so you can see how gentle I really am.
And what is the purpose of this training, Mr. Stenner? To what end? What is it you want?
She seemed to genuinely enjoy telling him these things.
You are someone special. Master Rawl himself wants you trained.
Her smile widened. He asked for me.
I would guess he has something he wants to ask you. I will not let you embarrass me in his eyes. When I'm done with you, you will beg to tell him anything he wants to know. When he is finished with you, then you are to be mine, for life, however long that may be.
Richard had to concentrate on her hair, had to fight to keep the anger down. He knew what Darkon Rahl wanted to know. He wanted to know about the Book of Counted Shadows. The box was safe. Kalin was safe. Nothing else mattered. Denna could kill him, for all he cared. In fact, it would be doing him a favor. Denna walked around him, looking him up and down. If you prove to be a good pet, I may even choose you for my mate. She stopped in front of him, put her face close to his, gave him a coy smile. Moored Sith mate for life. Her smile showed her teeth. I've had many mates. But don't get yourself too excited by the prospect, my pet, she breathed. I doubt you will find it to be an experience you enjoy, if you live through it. None of the others have. They all died after a short time as my mate. Richard didn't think that was anything he had to worry about. Darkon Rahl wanted the book. If he didn't find a way to escape, Darkon Rahl was going to kill him, in the same way he had killed Richard's father and Gilly. The most he would learn from reading Richard's entrails was where that place was. Inside Richard's head. And there was no way any amount of the reading of his entrails was going to read the book out to him. Richard only hoped he could live long enough to see the look of surprise on Darkon Rahl's face when he realized he had made a fatal mistake. No book, no box. Darkon Rahl was a dead man. That was all that mattered. As for the question of him being betrayed, he decided that he didn't believe it. Darkon Rahl knew the wizard's rules, and he was just using the first, trying to make him afraid of the possibility. The first step to believing. Richard decided that he was not going to be tricked by the wizard's first rule. He knew Zed and Chase and Kalin. He would not believe Darkon Rahl over his friends. By the way, where did you get the Sword of Truth? He looked right into her eyes. I bought it from the last man that had it, Mistress Denna. Is that so? What did you have to give for it? Richard held her eyes. Everything I had. It would appear it is to also cost me my freedom, and probably my life. Denna laughed. You have spirit. I love breaking a man with spirit. Do you know why Master Rahl picked me? No, Mistress Denna. Because I am relentless. I may not be as cruel as some of the others, but I enjoy breaking a man more than any of them. I love hurting my pets more than anything else in life. I live to do it. She arched an eyebrow and smiled. I don't give up. I don't tire of it. And I don't ease up. Ever. I am honored, Mistress Denna, to be in the hands of the best. She put the Aegeal against the cut on his lip and held it there until he was on his knees and tears ran from his eyes. That is the last flippant thing I ever want to hear from you. She took the Aegeal away and kneed him in his mouth, knocking him sprawling on his back. She pressed the Aegeal against his stomach. Before he passed out, she pulled it away. What do you have to say?
Please, Mr. Stenner, he managed with the greatest of effort. Forgive me.
All right, get up. It's time to begin your training. She went to the table and retrieved something. She pointed to a spot on the floor. Stand there.
Now!
Richard moved as fast as he could. He couldn't straighten himself. The pain wouldn't allow it. He stood on the spot, breathing hard, sweating. She handed him something with a thin chain attached. It was a collar made of leather, the same color as she wore. Her voice lost its pleasant quality. Put it on. Richard was in no condition to ask questions. He realized that he was starting to believe he would do anything to avoid the touch of the Aegeal. He buckled the collar around his neck. Denna picked up the chain. The end of it had a loop of metal, which he slipped over the post on the back of the wooden chair. "The magic will punish you for going against my wishes. When I place this chain somewhere, it is my wish for it to stay there until I remove it. I want you to learn that you are helpless to remove it." She pointed at the door, which stood open. "For the next hour, I want you to try your best to make it to that doorway. If you don't try your hardest, this is what I will do for the rest of the hour." She put the Aegil to the side of his neck until he was on his knees, screaming in agony and begging for her to stop. She took it away and told him to begin, then went to lean, arms folded, against a wall. The first thing he did was simply to try to walk to the door. The pain buckled his legs before he was able to put even a little tension on the chain, and stopped only when he scooted backward toward the chair. Richard reached for the ring. The pain of the magic cramped his arms until he was shaking with the strain of reaching for it. Sweat ran off his face. He tried backing to the chair, then turning, but before his fingers could touch the chain, the pain took him to the ground again. He pushed against the pain, straining to reach the chair, but couldn't get there past the pain, the effort causing him to fall to the ground, vomiting blood. When it ended, he held himself up with one hand, tears dripping from his face as he held his stomach with his other hand and shook. From the corner of his eye, he saw Denna unfold her arms and stand up straight. He started moving again. What he was doing was clearly not going to work. He had to think of something else. He drew the sword, thinking to lift the chain. For a brief instant, and with the greatest effort, he managed to touch the chain with the blade. The pain made him drop the sword. He was able to stop the hurt only by putting the sword back in its scabbard. A thought came to him. He lay down on the ground, and in a quick movement, kicked the chair out from under the chain before the pain could paralyze him. The chair skidded across the floor, hit the table, and fell over. The chain fell from the post. The victory lasted only the briefest of moments. With the chain off the chair, the pain elevated to a new height. He choked and gasped against the floor. With all his effort, he clawed his way across the stone. Every inch he moved only increased the pain until he was blinded by it. His eyes felt as if they would explode from his head. He had managed to move only about 2 feet. He didn't know what to do. The pain wouldn't let him move, and it was keeping him from thinking. "Please, Mistress Denna," he whispered with all his strength. "Help me. Please help me." He realized he was crying, but didn't care. He only wanted the chain back on the chair so the pain would stop. He heard her boots walking toward him. She bent and picked up the chair, righted it, and replaced the loop. His pain lifted, but he couldn't stop crying as he rolled onto his back. She stood over him with her hands on her hips. "That was only 15 minutes, but since I had to come help you, the hour starts over. The next time I have to come help you, it will be 2 hours." She bent and pushed the Aegil against his stomach, making pain bloom inside him. "Understand?"
"Yes, Mr. Stenna," he cried.
He was afraid there was a way to escape, and afraid of what would happen to him if he found it, and afraid of not trying. If there was a way, by the end of the hour he had not found it. She came and stood over him as he rested on his hands and knees. "Do you think you understand now? Do you understand what will happen if you try to escape?"
"Yes, Mr. Stenner."
And he really did. There was no way for him to ever get away. Hopelessness closed around him, feeling as if it would suffocate him. He wanted to die. He thought about the knife at his belt. "Stand up." As if reading his mind, she spoke softly. "If you should think you would end your service as my pet, think again. The magic will prevent it. The same as it prevents you from moving the chain from where I put it. Richard blinked numbly at her. "There is no way for you to escape me, not even through death. You will be mine as long as I choose to let you live."
"That won't be long, Mistress Stenna. Darkenral is going to kill me."
"Perhaps. But even if he does, it will only be after you tell him what he wants to know. What I want is for you to answer his questions, and you are going to do what I want without hesitation." Her brown eyes had the hardness of steel. "You may not believe that right now, but you have no idea how good I am at training people. I have never failed to break a man. You may think you will be the first, but you will soon be begging to please me." The first day with her wasn't over, and already Richard knew he would do almost anything she said. She had weeks left to train him. If he could have willed himself to die on the spot, he would have done it. The worst thing was knowing she was right. There was nothing he could do to stop her. He was at her mercy, and he didn't think she had a shred of it.
"I understand, Mistress Stenna. I believe you." Her pleasant smile made him need to think of how pretty her braid was.
"Good. Now take off your shirt." Her smile widened at the puzzled look on his face, and the way he started unbuttoning his shirt nonetheless. She held the Aegil in front of his eyes. "It's time to teach you all the things the Aegil can do. If you leave your shirt on, it will be covered in blood, and I won't be able to find a fresh spot on you. You are going to see why the outfit I wear is this color." He pulled his shirt tail out. He was breathing hard in a near panic.
"But, Mistress Stenna, what have I done wrong?"
She cupped her hand to the side of his face with mock concern.
"Why, don't you know?"
He shook his head, swallowing back the lump in his throat. "You have let yourself be captured by a moored Sith. You should have killed all my men with your sword. I think you could have done it. You were very impressive as far as you went. Then you should have used your knife or your bare hands to kill me while I was vulnerable before I had control of your magic. You should have never given me the chance to take control of the magic from you. You should have never tried to use it against me."
"But why must you use the Aegil on me now?"
She laughed. "Because I want you to learn. Learn that I can do whatever I want, and there is no way for you to stop me. You must learn that you are totally helpless, and that if you enjoy any time without pain, it is only because I choose it, not you." The smile left her face. She went to the table, returned with manacles held with a length of chain. "Now, you have a problem that annoys me. You keep falling down. We are going to fix that. Put these on." She threw them at him. He struggled to control his breathing as he latched each iron band to a shaking wrist. Denna dragged the chair over to a beam, made him stand under it. She stood on the chair to hook the chain to an iron peg. "Stretch up. It doesn't reach yet." He had to stand on his toes and stretch before she could get it hooked. "There." She smiled. "Now we won't have any more problems with you falling down." Richard hung from the chain, trying to control his terror, the iron bands digging into his wrists because of his own weight. He knew there was nothing he could do to stop her before, but this was different. It amplified his helplessness, made him all the more aware that there was no way for him to fight back. Denna pulled on her gloves, walked around him several times, tapping the Aegil against her hand, prolonging his anxiety. If only he had been killed trying to stop Darkenral. That was a price he had been prepared to pay. This was different. This was death without dying. Living death. He was not even to be allowed the dignity of fighting back. He knew what the Aegil felt like. He didn't need her to show him any more. She was only doing this to take away his pride, his self-respect, to break him. Denner tapped the Aegeal against his chest and back as she continued walking around him. Each touch of it was like a dagger knifing into him. Each touch made him cry out in pain and twist on the chain. And he knew she hadn't even really begun yet. The first day was still not over, and there would be many more to come. He cried at his helplessness. Richard imagined his sense of self, his dignity, as a living thing, saw it in his mind. He imagined a room that was impervious to anything, to any harm. He put his dignity, his self-respect, into that room, and locked the door. No one would have a key to that door. Not Denner, not Dark and Rall. Only him. He would endure what was to come, for as long as it was to come, without his dignity. He would do what he had to, and some day he would unlock the door and be himself again, even if it was only in death. But for now, he would be her slave. For now, but not always. Some day, it would end. Denner took his face in both her hands and kissed him hard. Hard enough to make his cut lip throb and sting. She seemed to enjoy the kiss more when she was sure it hurt him. She took her face from his, her eyes wide with delight. "Shall we begin, my pet?" she whispered. "Please, Mistress Denner," he whispered. "Don't do this." Her smile widened. "That's what I wanted to hear." Denner began showing him what the Aegeal would do, how if she dragged it lightly across his flesh, it raised fluid-filled welts, and how if she pressed a little harder, they filled with blood. When she bore down, he could feel warm wetness on his sweaty skin. She could also make the exact same pain without leaving a mark. His teeth hurt from gritting them so hard. Sometimes she would stand behind him, waiting until he was off guard before she touched it to him. When she tired of that, she made him close his eyes and keep them closed while she walked around him, pressing it against him or dragging it around his chest. She would laugh when she succeeded in making him think it was coming, and he would brace for it, and it didn't. One particularly sharp jab brought his eyes open wide, giving her an excuse to use the glove. She made him beg for forgiveness for opening his eyes without being told to do so. His wrists bled from the manacles cutting into them. It was impossible to keep his weight off them. His anger only got away from him once, when she pressed the Aegeal into his armpit. She stood with a smirk, watching, while he twisted, trying to think of her hair. Since putting the Aegeal there caused him to lose control of the anger, she concentrated on that area for a long time, but he didn't make the same mistake twice. Since he didn't bring on the pain of the magic again, she did it for him. Only when she did it, he couldn't turn it off, no matter how hard he tried. He had to beg her to do it for him. Sometimes she would stand in front of him, watching him catch his breath. A few times she pressed herself against him, hugging his chest, squeezing, the hardness of the leather making every wound it pressed against flare anew in pain. Richard had no idea how long this torture lasted. Much of the time he wasn't aware of anything but the pain, as if it were a living thing there with him. He was only aware that at some point he knew he would do anything she said, no matter what it was, if only she would stop hurting him. He looked away from the Aegeal. The mere glimpse of it made tears well up in his eyes. Denna was right about herself. She never tired or became bored with what she did. It seemed to constantly fascinate her, keep her amused, satisfied. The only thing that seemed to make her happier than hurting him was when he begged her to stop.
He would have begged more, to make her happy. But most of the time he was incapable of talking. Simply breathing was almost more than he could handle. He no longer tried to keep the pressure off his wrists, and hung limp, delirious. He thought she stopped for